Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Dickinson, Daryl the Guru Johnson with you until 4 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game. We're scheduled to be joined by Monty Poole at the bottom of this 1 o'clock hour. He's coming up at 1:30. Tim Flannery is going to join us coming up at 2:30.
Bringing the heat.
And John Morosi at 3:30. We'll talk some trade deadline. The Juris Familia trade is finalized, getting closer to be finalized. Jane Lee reporting that as well. A couple of New York reporters and columnists saying Bobby Wall, a right-handed pitcher that's been in AAA. He was up a little bit last year with the A's. He's a reliever that's headed the Mets way in this deal for Familia. So the A's being proactive and getting a reliever to try and shorten the middle of games.
And that's worked for them up until this point with what they've had to perfection. Now you got to think, you know, in regard to relievers, you got Murderer's Row now, JD.
Well, and the other thing it does, too, is, you know, Trinan and Trevino aren't proven commodities. You know, they've been really good. But the other thing adding another reliever does is if one of those guys starts to slip a little bit, now you've got a guy that's been a closer in Familia and a guy that's had a lot of saves and a guy that saved playoff games.
A lot of pressure in New York.
And a guy that's been, and dealt with the pressure in New York. So I think having that veteran presence is important too, because you know Trevino could struggle. Trevino, he's got great stuff, but you know he hasn't been in a pennant race. He's coming out of nowhere. Trinan's always had a live arm, but this is the first year he's really come together. It's all happening for him. I mean, he was in the starting rotation a couple of years back with the Nationals.
Yeah, I see him pitch JD right now for the A's, Trinan, and I'm like, how the hell did the Nationals let him go? But you are right. They didn't get return on the investment, the ROI, like the A's are getting, because, I mean, expectations were there for him, and he didn't meet them.
Yeah. So it's a deal where, you know, look, I mean, the A's have guys they like. Obviously, they had Trinan before. They have guys they like, and they never stray too far away from the guys that they like in those, you know, particular situations. Let's switch gears and talk a little bit of NBA. Here on 95.7 The Game. DeMarcus Cousins introduced on Thursday at a press conference in downtown Oakland. And I mean, it's another example, Guru, of the rich getting richer. It just seems like this is the perfect fit with Cousins rehabbing the injury, not being able to play early on in the season.
Rehabbing his image, but maybe
gonna make sure he's 100% before he gets on the court, or at least as close to 100% as can be expected, and also opening up an opportunity for some of the bigs to play, the younger bigs for the Warriors to play, and just less pressure on Cousins to perform and put up raw numbers than would be there if he was on another team. If he was on another team, it would be got to come back immediately.
25 and 15.
Got to put up 20. Yeah, got to put up 20 and 10 at least. Otherwise, you're shot. None of those things are in play now for DeMarcus Cousins, which I think takes the pressure off of him. And none of those things are in play for the Warriors, which I think just adds a benefit of what they may have once he gets healthy.
Yeah, and, you know, I was condemning all the other GMs on why didn't you get Cousins? But I understand it, JD. They're not in the situation the Warriors are in, which means they cannot take chances that the Warriors can. And this is a perfect situation for DeMarcus. And you talk about numbers. He knows he's not going to be able to produce, to me, the numbers that would get him that his next contract. If I'm a GM, I'm looking at how he's moving. Is he laboring? You know, is he all the way back or as close to what he was when he was with the Pelicans? So this is a win-win, and this is the bomb. If he's anything close to what he was in New Orleans, this will be the best starting five I've ever laid my eyes on. And the fact that that's a possibility for this rich team that's gone back to back trying to go Pat Riley with the three-peat, it's sinister that they were able to make this happen. And again, I was mad at Magic and the rest of the GMs, but they're not in position to give out scholarships and open their Bible and light a candle and hope that this guy can return to that form. Because if he didn't, JD, then it would look bad on those GMs.
Look, I think DeMarcus Cousins wanted, he wanted to be wanted.
He was hurt. Yeah.
He wanted to be wanted in free agency.
Hurt.
And I think he was in a position where he wanted a better contract than he got originally, obviously. I think he thought he may have to take a one-year deal. But I think he thought a contender that had money to spend was going to offer him the one-year $15 million deal, the one-year $12 million
deal. Even after the injury?
Yeah, even after the injury. I think that's what... And again, I'm not trying to get in his head, but my belief is that's he wanted a team like the Lakers to be like DeMarcus. We want you to rehab with us. We want you to come in with LeBron. Mm. We want you to be one of our core stars. We're gonna try and take down
the
Warriors.
Money. Here's the money.
Here's the money. It's gonna be a 1 year deal. If you're healthy, we're signing you to a huge deal a year from now. And the phone didn't ring. And at that point, and DeMarcus alluded to this, he could have waited and probably received a bigger offer from a lesser team, but he said, "Forget it. I'm not gonna wait around for a $10 million offer from a bad team. I'll just take a $5 million offer from the best team
and play in playoff games
and play in playoff games and win a championship. And here we are." So the joke's on all the contenders that continue to get it wrong when trying to compete with the Warriors and beat the Warriors.
Okay.
All these teams complain and people, fans,
yeah,
everybody complains.
You could have did it.
Well, put a group together to beat them. Nobody does it right. You know, the Rockets are worried about Carmelo freaking Anthony, for crying out loud.
I think he's going to help them, JD.
No, he stinks. Carmelo Anthony stinks.
I'll tell you what. You know what? I bet he won't go 0 for 12 like Ariza did in the most important game of your franchise.
He won't.
See, you get where I'm
going. You're right.
He won't. I want to give the Rockets and Morey credit for looking at Mabute and Ariza that realm of against the Warriors. There were times that you guys got we didn't see you.
Guru, you're right. He will not go 0 for 12. He'll go 4 for 12.
Right.
And if he gets matched up on Durant, Durant will go 10 for 12 and just cook him because he stinks. He can't play defense. The Rockets are going to be a significantly worse defensive team than they were, and I don't think any level of offense is going to be able to offset it.
See, I'm wondering if they felt like they needed to get better offensively to beat the Warriors. Well, being that they had him up 3-2.
And that's a fair thought, but you're going to be worse defensively.
Well, they are now. We don't even know what's up with Capella, but I'll say this.
Yeah, quit messing around with Capella. That's the other thing. Sign the guy.
You know I'm random, JD. Who's had it worse in regard to timing? Isaiah Thomas, whose hip injury came up and we thought he was going to get that max deal, or Cousins having the Achilles this season?
Cousins.
But Isaiah looks like he'll never even remotely get close to getting offered that money.
Yeah.
That Brad Stevens had him ready to get.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for him.
And it kind of makes you understand why Kawhi didn't come back if it was kind of
forgive
touch
me,
and go.
Forgive me. I'm trying not to say like.
Oh no, I was hoping it came out.
Well, I'm trying not. I don't feel that bad for Isaiah Thomas.
All right.
I just don't. I mean,
is he a selfish player in
your
estimation?
100%.
Were you surprised at the success he had in Boston, or is it wrong for me to say that was a byproduct of Brad Stevens' offense?
You're not wrong. I was surprised that he was able to play that well, and they were able to win, and they were able to win at the level that they were able to win. But every single player they had around him was complimentary of him.
All right. He was in a good situation.
He was in the only situation where he could do that and win. The only one.
I kind of feel bad for the guy. Like, damn. But he got a job, so he can prove himself
again. I'll say this. I mean, I don't have his career earnings in front of me, but I mean, it's right around $30 million in his career. Which is,
he can feed his family.
Which is not much, though. Which is, I mean, that's, I mean, he.
Well, when you say $30 million,
I'm
like,
whoa. He's played better in his career than that $30 million warrants. So I'll say that. Like, he's earned more than that based on the way that he's played.
Yeah, and his body seems to be breaking down too,
But at the same
JD.
Time, I don't really feel bad for him.
I got you.
But, you know, does that make sense?
It makes total sense.
Is that fair or is that too harsh?
No, that's fair. And I feel like, you know, he wasn't the greatest scorer in Sacramento. So I felt like, now he got over. He got the exposure. And that parlayed him to another job, but I didn't feel like he was remotely what he was in Boston.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Monty Poole coming up at 1:30. More of your phone calls coming up as well. It's John Dickinson. It's Daryl the Guru Johnson here on 95.7 The Game. All right, back with you here, John Dickinson, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Until 4 o'clock, A's and Giants battle the Bay. Is it game two or is it game five? Well, it's both. It's game two of the three-game set at the Coliseum. It's game five of the six-game interleague season series, which is six consecutive games on the schedule with the All-Star break in between. We are with you until 4 o'clock. It'll be Rick Tittle coming your way at that point as well. Monty Poole scheduled to join us coming up here in about 10 minutes. Tim Flannery and John Morosi on the program as well. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We're talking a little NBA. From the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, though, Guru, people are concerned about you. You're taking some heat, but then
this one guy, the Buster Posey apologist.
But then people are also showing you the love, though, as well. 408, does Guru ever get a day off? He has to be the James Brown of sports talk radio. That's That's pretty good.
Hardest
working
Brown?
Man in show business.
Oh, Mike.
Come on.
And I'm your brother. Oh,
come on, man.
Throw a flag. Yeah.
Come on, man.
I appreciate the
love. Yeah, you're the James Brown. We had another guy down there and says, Guru, are you going to be back at 10 o'clock?
Well, yeah, Monday. Yep. And I get off day tomorrow.
Off day tomorrow.
Yep. Going to watch the A's and Giants.
And then, yeah, you'll be back with Steiny, right?
Yeah.
Back with Steiny.
Our guy.
10 to noon, back with Steiny this week. Five days?
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
All right.
Look at Dino.
I'm playing my schedule around.
Look, I love it.
That's selfish. Totally selfish on my part. I'm playing my listening schedule around.
I'm going to feel bad by saying this, but I think you need some closure. The guy that crashed the car that caused you that inconvenience this morning, I just saw a picture of the car.
No longer with us.
Yeah, it looks like it looks bad. I don't think I've ever seen a car that messed up. So,
not good.
Yeah, there you
not
go.
Good. And if you missed the beginning of the show, it was a little bit of an angry show start.
The cold's in you.
But we're working through it. We're working through it. And again, we're not even halfway through. We're about an hour and 15, hour and 18 into this thing right here. And your phone call's coming up in a minute. But yeah, I'm coming in from Walnut Creek, and it's usually about a 28-30 minute drive into the city. Just, you know, cruising, beautiful Saturday
Smokey
morning.
Smokey Robinson.
But somebody decided they were going to get in a high-speed chase on 24, and 2 hours and 5 minutes later,
ended up on 880.
JD comes, you know, stumbling into the studio.
You made it.
And we're off and running. We're just showing up and playing today. No batting practice, no pregame warm-up.
Nice.
Just show up and play. Mike in San Francisco joins us on the phone lines here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Mike, how are you? Mike? Oh, Mike didn't want to wait. All right. Mike's line open for you at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Mike, if you want to give us a call back, we'll get you back in the rotation here on 95.7 The Game. We're talking a lot of NBA. Look, we were talking about it earlier a little bit, and we got off on a different discussion point. I don't like anything the Lakers have done. I don't like anything the Lakers have done other than sign LeBron James. I don't like them bringing Caldwell Pope back.
Why? He can score. He can play D. He can shoot threes.
I don't like them signing Beasley. I don't like the Rondo signing. It's an odd mix of players that don't seem to complement each other that well, don't seem to be all that balanced. The big question was going to be, who's going to be let go to bring in Kawhi Leonard?
Oh,
well,
man.
Kawhi Leonard's playing in Toronto.
What a bummer.
That was the big move. That was, you know, DeMarcus Cousins mentioned his ace of spades. Well, the Lakers' ace of spades was go get Kawhi Leonard and have him for a year and then re-sign him to a big-time contract to put him and LeBron together.
What happened?
I look at the Lakers and I'm thinking, you got nothing.
Okay.
You got LeBron and a bunch of, you know, do you have more talent than the Cavs did?
There you
yes.
go. Yes.
I think you have more talent.
A lot more, JD.
But is it, did the pieces fit? And I feel for a guy like Luke Walton, too. Because, I mean, Luke Walton's a,
well, what if it, no, he's probably the happiest camper. It's about,
how do you make that those pieces?
Well, that's his job. My point is, he better do it or else. And I think I told Steiny, Phil Jackson out there lurking. Could this be too big of a project for young Luke Walton? And we'll see. But you cited the Cavs last year. He played with two teams and got the second team that he only had a half a season to play with to the finals. You look at that young Laker roster. I can't believe they lost Randall, but JD LeBron. I don't get it, but in year 16, 15, he's playing like he's in his prime. I expect the Lakers to be better than the Cavs. I expect the Lakers to be fourth or fifth seed in the West. I don't know how, but I will say this. If you told me when the Rockets announced the signing of Chris Paul and with that marriage work between Harden and Paul, people were saying no way in hell, just like you said, the Laker knew, you know, this mix. And guess what? It worked to where they got the number one seed. So are you, well, show me, and then I'll say, you know what, I looked at it wrong. But I'm thinking LeBron has a lot of young talent and now some veterans to mix it up and get ugly. Don't underestimate the king.
Lance Stephenson, another one.
But I mean, he can play.
He can't shoot, though. Like, you got to have shooters. If LeBron's going to be your guy, you got to have shooters. I mean, I guess
Ingram can shoot.
Yeah,
Kuzma can shoot
better. He's got you need more.
LeBron can shoot.
You need more guys that can take the heat. LeBron can't be your main shooter. LeBron can't be your
Caldwell Pope. He's their gunner, right? He's the best shooter on this team.
He's up and down.
38%, but he's the best shooter on this team right now.
He's up and down. It's just there's not enough. I just don't like the mix. And you've got Rondo gonna play and Lonzo Ball. How is that gonna fit?
Well, he could be insurance. Lonzo had the little meniscus deal, but they say he'll be ready for training camp.
Yeah, you're signing Rajon Rondo to come in and play. And
I didn't
run
get
your,
that.
And run your team.
I didn't understand that.
Let's get to Frank in San Francisco. Frank is on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about the Warriors' fortune in landing DeMarcus Cousins at the time that they did. I think one of the biggest concerns about him is, like, his humility. And him sitting on the bench learning the culture is just going to benefit the Warriors' locker room and the chemistry in a big way. I don't think he'll ever get a max deal. I don't think he'll be able to show those type of numbers on the Warriors team, but he'll buy into being a role player by sitting half the season and trying to find his way on a great team. So I think, you know, I'm excited about the Warriors. I'm really concerned about the OKC Thunder, not so much about the Rockets anymore. And, depending on Capella, but I think the Warriors, got really fortunate with Cousins in that way, as far as his humility goes. So that's all I wanted to throw out there.
Thanks a lot, Frank. Appreciate the phone call. I think it's going to help DeMarcus Cousins' career being around the Warriors.
No doubt.
He may not get a max deal again. Just based on the timing and the injury and the lack of numbers, that unfortunately for him, that may not happen. But I do think he, as long as he has the right mindset coming into this season, he is going to learn things about the game and about a team and about how to be a winner that should positively affect him for the rest of his career, whether that's from Steve Kerr and Bob Myers and Draymond Green and Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Iguodala and Livingston. This should be almost like taking a college course, you know, as far as his career goes, in how to be a pro, how to be a winner, how to be a champion. So if he has the right mentality, I think it could set his career just off in a great light once he leaves the Warriors after this
year. Great points. And right now, what's the other alternative? He has no leverage, right? He can't be the DeMarcus Cousins that was in Sacramento to where, you know, the offense and everything went through him. JD, he's on his, I don't want to say his last life, but this dude's injured. There obviously was not a line for his services. So his reputation is probably what scared some people off. So he's in basketball heaven now, and he has to be a good soldier, as I like to say. And we're going to see the best of him because, like Caspi, you know, they're not equal in talent. Could you believe DeMarcus Cousins has never played in a playoff game?
Well,
that's criminal to have that on your ledger.
He was going to play in a playoff game last year.
Got me.
And again, the whole DeMarcus Cousins isn't a winner, you know, conversation. Well, all he needed to become a winner was one full season away from Sacramento. Mm. So let's be real about it. Because he was in line to be on a playoff team and play in playoff games last year had he not been injured.
I thought the Pelicans liked what they had with him.
Yeah, but...
And now he's saying Dale Demps is saying one thing. He's saying that there was an offer, you know, given.
I don't know what's going on there. I think the Pelicans... I get where the Pelicans are coming from on him because of the injury and because of the fact that when they added Mirotić, they just became a different team. He became less
so
necessary
good.
For
okay.
them.
Wow. I love
because
him.
He's a better fit with Davis. And let's be honest, I mean, they're kind of a cheap franchise. Like they're a franchise that, like, are the Pelicans really gonna break up, you know, the Brinks truck for three max players?
You like Payton now?
They've already done
instead
for two.
Of Rondo?
Elfrid Payton?
Yeah.
He's okay.
But
That was kind of random.
I'm sorry, you threw me there. Well, he's their guard now.
He's okay. I mean,
when you say cheap, Rondo seemed like he knew what was going on.
Yeah. Let's get to Sean and Fremont here on 95. Actually, I'm sorry. Let's go to Professor. Professor in San Jose was up first here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Professor.
Hey, JD. Good to talk to you. Hey, huge Warrior fan forever and ever. I'm so excited about this season. Not as concerned this year as I am for next year. We all know that Michael Thompson is the voice of the Lakers, and he wouldn't let Klay sign the long-term contract. Any worries that Klay may be going to the Lakers and then Kawhi Leonard from Toronto to make a super team? How concerned are you, and how real is that? Or is that just urban legend and there's no – you guys are a lot closer to the Warriors than I am. Second question, completely unrelated, that I just heard, and I'm so sad about, was that Greg is no longer the voice of the Raiders. It's going to be Brent Musburger, and I wondered if you could comment on just why that happened, what happened as a second part to that.
Thanks, Professor. Appreciate the phone call. As far as Greg first, I think it's unfortunate. I think Greg Pop is as good as it gets as far as play-by-play men, really any sport.
My modern-day Bill King for me.
And I think it's unfortunate as far as the how and the why. I'm going to let Greg explain all of that
Monday,
as much as he
o'clock.
Wants to. 12 o'clock on Monday right here on 95.7 The Game. I think it's unfortunate. Only I'll use a DeMarcus Cousins quote. Only he and Mark Davis know.
Okay.
What happened. You know, only they know what that relationship is. So I'm going to let Greg speak for himself on his
But the Raider fans
future.
Lose out this season not having Pop on the call. I know I do. I used to listen to him at, I don't know if the 12 o'clock hour in midnight where they'd have Raiders in 60 just to hear that enthusiasm and passion again. So I'm going to miss Pop on the call.
That's my take on that. And as far as, you know, Klay Thompson goes, you never know.
It's
but,
real.
But if you're a Warriors fan, you get another ring and somebody decides to leave? I mean, that's not exactly the end of the world. Let's ask our next guest. We got Monty Poole ready to go. NBC Sports Bay Area Warriors insider. Monty, thanks a lot for coming on. You're on with John Dickinson and Daryl the Guru Johnson here on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, fellas?
I will just roll it out because we just took a call, and rather than have us respond, I'll get your take on this. Klay Thompson, is he a Golden State Warrior beyond 2009, the 2019 season, next season?
At this point, I believe so. Based on everything he has said, based on everything his father has said. Now, again, of course, circumstances could change, but based on what I've heard from both of them and looking at the big picture, I think so. I think Klay understands that it'd be really tough for him to go someplace else and be able to enjoy the same level of success he's had with the Warriors. I don't think that Klay craves being a number one guy somewhere else because he might make a little more money someplace else. So when I add all these factors into the mix, if he were to leave, I would be surprised. But yeah, if I had to bet one way or the other, I would bet at this point that he's more likely to stay.
And to stay
at a, I don't know if I'm going to call it a discount, but at less than the max.
Okay. How intrigued do you think he is by what's going on in LA now that we kind of know what the end game is, at least for this season, as far as what the Lakers are going to do? Is that, you think that's something that intrigues him, he takes a look at, or it's just, I like it here, I'm going to have some fun and roll with what we've got?
That's what I think. I think he likes where he is, likes where he lives, likes to be able to go home and have home be a little diversion from where he lives. I think he also understands that going home is not always what it's cracked up to be. You know, you go someplace else that you where you grew up and you play pro ball there, and it's a little different for you. You know, it's not the same feeling. And I think Klay likes to be a little bit removed from L.A. Like I said, he can go down there and visit whenever he wants, go down there and play four times a year. And I think that's enough for him. I don't think he needs to live there, be there, play there. I don't think he craves the spotlight, too, that would come with him moving to L.A. If he were to go play for the Lakers, the spotlight on him for making that move from the Warriors would be enormous, and I don't think he wants any part of that either.
Monty, I don't mean to blindside you, but I respect you to the point to where I follow you on Twitter, and there's a lot going on in our country. I don't have to tell you that. And there are a lot of times I'll follow your feed and you, unlike a lot of people, will speak out or just, voice your concern over some matters. And I say all that to say, can you explain to me why you think when you look at the NFL and how divisive this anthem issue is and how they're handling it right now, and the players are fighting the owners. And then you look at the NBA, and I never thought as to why is the NBA doing it right, I guess. Is that just simply because they let their players express themselves? How would you answer that question?
I think the first thing to know is that the players in the NBA feel like partners with the owners. And the owners invite that feeling. The players sense that each player in the NBA is his own corporation. They have a bigger slice of the decision-making. They have a bigger slice of the pie. They have a better relationship with the ownership than the NFL team, NFL owners do with their players. And that's where it starts. You hear guys talk about all the time, LeBron describes the NBA as our league, not their league. If you're in the NFL, you know who the league belongs to. It belongs to the owners. And I think that's where it starts. The fact that, people say, well, why NBA guys, they aren't kneeling or anything. I said, well, first of all, the difference between the NFL and the NBA is that the NBA has established it based on collective bargaining that this is not part of the deal. Now, maybe they'll go back and look at that again, and maybe there'll be a change, but it was something that, again, the players were partnered as part of that deal. They weren't told, this is what you will do, this is how you will behave. If you do this, you'll get in trouble. That's not what happened. I mean, the players and the owners, representatives from both sides, got together, and that was one of the things that they discussed back years ago. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, the NBA is much more progressive in terms of its the way the social issues that they tackle. They're much more open about it. I mean, they've done more things to tell you, okay, you know what? You may not agree with everything the NBA ownership does and NBA commissioner's office, what they do, but you understand why they're doing it, you know, and they understand that also, you know, the NBA is, you know, a largely black league. You know, they can't do that and expect players to really kind of fall in line, expect players to just go along with the program. The players have to be a part of the program. And this goes back to me to David Stern when he was a commissioner and made the, I guess you can say, he made the conscious decision to promote individuals. You know, yeah, you can talk about the Celtics, the Lakers, but this league was about Michael and Larry and Magic and, you know, Malone and Stockton. I mean, this league was about the players, the individual players. And that's what brought this league back from, you know, brought to the point where it's, where it is now. I mean, you go back 30, 40 years, even less than that, where, you know, the NBA Finals games were on tape delay, and it was a whole different deal. Well, part of that resurgence, part of that outpouring, that what we have now is based on the fact that we're promoting individual players and their abilities, their skills, their talents. So the NFL, they don't do that. They don't do that. And so it's a more suppressive environment. You know, you're told basically that this is our league and these are our rules and these are the ones you'll play by. If you don't like it, we'll cut you and won't pay you. You know, that's wow. It. End of story. Goodbye. And in the NBA, if they cut you, they pay you. So it's a different deal, man.
Monty, you know, I grew up, I'm a big sports fan, and football is a big part of my life, watching it with my dad, and now I'm watching it with my children. And, you know, I'm telling JD or whoever listen, you know, I feel like I'm woke, but, you know, am I out there in the community doing as much as I can? No, I could probably do more. And I say that to say, if you have a friend or a family member or even yourself, I've never remotely once said, you know, this anthem issue, I know it's so wrong and I feel some type of way, but Monty, come 1 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I'm watching those football games. Can you understand a person now that says, because I see it on Twitter all the time and I say to myself, yeah, you're saying that, but I bet you're probably watching the game. Can you understand how somebody could be so turned off with this whole issue to where they're not watching the game?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people are in that dilemma right now. You know, yeah, they still have their teams, but they just don't feel comfortable supporting the league and watching the game and supporting the league as much as supporting a team. And when the NFL people talk about the ratings being down and when the certain politicians talk about the ratings being down and this is your problem, there are a lot of reasons why the ratings are down, okay? And it's not any one thing, you know, because this anthem, as the president said not long ago, this anthem issue affects people both ways, and there are good people on both sides. But there are people who will not watch because of what they see as unjust, and there are people who are determined to watch because it's their game. They're going to watch it, and they want to watch it. So it really is at a point now where the NFL is kind of backed up into a corner. They're not going to give up the power. The NFL is, look around the NFL, and you hardly ever see a team sold. I mean, the NFL owner, I did a sort of a survey, wasn't even a survey, I did some research a few years ago on NFL ownership. And at that time, like 40% of the owners in the NFL were over 80 years old. I mean, once you get that power in your hands and you realize that it's your league, that the players are not partners, the players are your pawns to do what you want with, it's hard to let go. And that's still true. I mean, there are a lot of old owners still today. I mean, a few have passed on. But not the NBA where, you know, teams get sold and every year, you know, a team or two gets sold and you see why. And, yeah, it's profitable. But it's not the same thing that you have in the NFL where the owners in the NFL, they have so much power over the direction of the league. They determine things. And that's hard for people to let go of. And I think that's one of the things that you have, too. So it's a different thing to deal with in terms of as a consumer. You got to decide whether you want to watch the games. And honestly, I've had people tell me that I don't watch the NFL anymore. And that's why. Because I don't like the way they're dealing with this. You know, the message they're sending to the players and to the consumer, I'm not down with that. And so, you know what? And they say with such conviction, I have no reason to doubt it.
Monty, what do you think the end game is on this? I mean, is there some kind of compromise? I mean, I look at what came out as far as the Dolphins and this policy that they were going to implement and other teams were going to follow, and it just it makes me shake my head how tone deaf it is to where we're at a point where we're still talking about people being suspended, you know, for some kind of a protest. What is ultimately the end game, bigger picture, beyond an anthem protest, beyond all of that, but between the league and its players?
Well, first of all, again, I mean, it's hard. The reason why they're still in, they haven't progressed any further is because it is so hard to give up almighty power. You know, when you're in charge and you make your decisions, you dictate the direction, that's hard to back off of. You've been doing that for decades and decades and decades. You're used to it. It's a way of life for you. Jerry Jones ain't giving you back anything you don't have to give you back. And so, to me, it may have to wait until the next collective bargaining session. And to me, this is definitely going to be on the table because I don't see how they're going to solve it before then. I don't know exactly when that is, but, you know, it comes up, and when it does, it has to be on the table because players, there are varying degrees of player wokeness among the players. But in general, I think you're seeing more and more players who maybe even aren't going to be kneeling or going to be protesting in any way, understanding that players have the right to do that, and they shouldn't be threatened with job loss or suspension or anything like that, that it's wrong. So, yeah, to get the owners to a place where, look, treat us like individuals, like men, and like partners, because without us, there is no league. And while the players know it's true, the owners have never given them the power, the authority to assert that. And so I think that's what it has to come down to. The players have to really take a stand. If they don't, it'll continue. And you know, I do think they will. The question is, when will they all be able to come together as a group? Because, you know, no protest works unless there is really a concerted effort by a group to do it. No boycott works unless there is solidarity. You got to have those things. And I think as time goes on, you're getting closer and closer to that within the players of the NFL.
Monty, final question for you. We're talking with Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area. A basketball question with DeMarcus Cousins and the Warriors. Who do you think has the most to gain in this, the Warriors or DeMarcus? Because I kind of look at it both ways, and that obviously the Warriors, it's not going to be maybe as stale, and they can win another championship. But I also think, you know, this experience could be in some ways a career changing one for DeMarcus in a good way. How do you reconcile both ends as far as what there is to gain?
Well, I mean, I think there's much more for DeMarcus to gain than there is for the Warriors to gain. He comes into this with an image that, in the eyes of many, is detrimental or negative. It's, you know, you think of DeMarcus Cousins, you think of technical fouls, you think of, you know, him scowling at individuals on the court, whether it be opponents or teammates. You think of him maybe getting in the face of his teammates, maybe to a point where maybe he shouldn't. You know, you think of all these things. And so I think some of that changed last year in New Orleans. You know, talking to Dell Demps, the GM in New Orleans, he basically said, you know, I think the difference for him in New Orleans versus Sacramento was that he was in an environment where we were winning. We were having some success. You know, yeah, we weren't the Warriors, but I think when you're in a situation where you lose game after game after game, and, you know, for every 10 games you play, you're losing 7 and 8 and 6. And he said, and that wears on people. That wears on a competitor. And that's why he thinks with the Warriors, DeMarcus is going to be fine because he's with a good team. So this is for him. I think this is a chance to rehab his image. And I don't believe his image is fully, what has been portrayed, I don't think it's fully fair. Oh, yeah, he has to own parts of it. But I don't think he's the ogre that some people will look at him and say, man, this guy is just, he's poison, he's toxic. I don't necessarily buy that. But I do think, yeah, there are some things he needs to clean up. And what better place to clean it up than the Warriors, who know they can win without him. He knows they can win without him. And the fact that he's willing to come here for $5.3 million, you know, like Kevin Durant, when this was put to him, he said, hey, DeMarcus wants to come here and play for the Warriors. And KD said, for $5 million? and he was told, he'll take the mid-level exception. KD goes, okay, but that's all I need to hear. I respect that.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know. You know, and so this for DeMarcus, this is about him. And we'll see how it plays out, but this is about him much more than the team, I think.
Monty, great stuff. Always one of my favorite guys to talk to, whether it's hoop or it's the NFL or it's just life in general. Always get a real good perspective, and we really appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
All right, brothers. Take care.
All right. Monty Poole joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Yeah. Sprayed all fields with Monty. One of the best. John Dickinson, Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're rolling on here on 95.7 The Game. All right, rolling along here on a Saturday afternoon. John Dickinson, Daryl the Guru Johnson, 95.7 The Game, as we are with you until 4 o'clock. Always good to get the Guru in on a weekend. I like that.
Yeah, 4 hours.
I like that.
Yeah, 240 minutes with JD.
Yeah, and it's good to get an opportunity to work with you as well. It's kind of like the good old days here, 95.7 The Game.
Get it in.
Some good, fun combos, 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. The phone lines reopened as we'll be joined by Tim Flannery coming up at 2:30. And also at 3:30, it'll be John Morosi joining us. We'll talk some baseball as we get you closer to the A's and the San Francisco Giants. Battle of the Bay, the middle game of that series, is it'll be Madison Bumgarner on the mound against Trevor Cahill, and 56,000 expected in the Coliseum tonight for the 6:05 first pitch. And the A's making moves as Juris Familia is coming over from the New York Mets. The A's bolstering what has already been a damn good bullpen by getting a guy that has closer experience at the highest level.
And it looks like the A's are taking on Familia's contract. I think that what, $3 million? That's unlike Billy Bean.
Well, it's like Billy Bean. It might be unlike the owner. I mean, he's got to be. I'm sure Billy.
Right, right.
I mean,
the big man.
And let's be honest. That shouldn't be a big deal. Like that, the fact that all the A's are taking on $3 million in this trade, that should not be a big deal. And I get that it is. I'm not ripping anybody that says it is when I say that, but that should not be a big deal, for crying out loud.
I just hope they're not done. I like the deal. Like I told you, it's a strong point. And just like you said, guys aren't going to be available every game if you need them. But I just feel like there's parts of this club, maybe a bat, just there's something eating at me that I'm like, I hope they're not done, Jamie.
When you have the lowest payroll in baseball and you're willing to take on $3 million.
No clap, I mean, no pats on the back.
Woo-hoo.
Okay, all right.
I mean, yeah, of course. Like, that's a given,
right,
as far as I'm concerned. When you have a young team and a pretty good manager that have battled their tails off to put themselves right in the middle of a playoff race as hot as any team in baseball before last night's game, don't give me the $3 million standing ovation. You sure as heck better be paying the $3 million the rest of the way.
Yeah, and we heard Billy tell A's fans that this team has earned, you know, they've earned the chance to get enhanced, and that it was their job. Billy's job is to go find a way to improve the club, and here we are Saturday night that we hear this trade, and I'm just wondering to you, asking you your opinion, do you think they're done?
I don't think they're done. I don't think they're done. I think they could look to add a lefty reliever to kind of balance things out. I know they don't put as much of a premium on having a couple of lefties in their pen. I mean, a couple of points this year, they didn't have any lefties in their pen when Buchter was on the disabled list. Right now they have two. But I think you could look to improve on the left side, another kind of situational guy to go with Buchter. And I think you also could look at a mid-range kind of a starting pitcher. I mean, it's not going to be Jacob DeGrom. And it shouldn't be Jacob DeGrom.
You could ask if you like, but yeah.
It shouldn't be Jacob DeGrom. It should be, you know, a mid-level guy, Jay Happ, you know, somebody like that.
The lefty.
To throw into the rotation. Somebody that's solid, but better than a guy like Brett Anderson, who really shouldn't even be making another start. I hate to be that guy, but.
What about Cahill? He's on the bump tonight.
Cahill's been better than Anderson.
Yeah, but he's had his bumps and bruises. And again, like Edwin Jackson, the A's are getting, I don't want to say lucky, JD, but these guys are outperforming, you know, the bad that they've had in their careers, I'm just wondering how long that can last. And if you did get to the promised land, if you tell me, hey, who's pitching game three? It's Cahill. How confident would you be going up against a club like a Boston or New York or Seattle?
Not great. I wouldn't feel great about it. But again, it's not about matching up man for man. It's about just getting in at this point. That's where this team is. It's about getting in. Mm. This team isn't the guys that are going to help them match up man for man are on the way. You know, that's a Puck coming back from the injury. That's a Luzardo coming up, making his way through the minors. You know, that's where the pitching becomes an asset on the starting side. That, you know, they're a year away from that. Maybe a year and a half away from that.
Okay.
At this point. Now, will the A's go out and try and get a veteran starter because they're going to wind up having a pretty good record at the end of this year to where they're a little bit more prepared than they were coming into this season? Yeah. I think they will do that in the offseason for sure. They'll look to get kind of a rotation leader, you know, that can hold them up.
No.
Whether it's a Kazmir type like they had in the past or Bartolo Colon before that. You know, they'll go get whoever that type of veteran is that can be a leader at the top of the rotation for 2019.
Yeah, and like you said, I hate this. I don't know why it happened. I get logistics or whatnot, but we're past the halfway point, and this is the second game after the All-Star game for many teams. But Billy knows if he's going for it or not right now at this moment, and that's obvious by this trade. I'm just wondering, when do you try to pull the next trigger? You'd want to do that as fast as you possibly can so you could get whoever you bring in inundated with what's going on in the green and gold. As opposed to, you know, the later you do it, the less chance I feel like you get to, you know, to get that time to jail, per se.
I think you do it whenever you can do it. And look, the A's didn't even give up a top 20 prospect, you know, according to some of the rankings I was reading, you know, during the last break, to get a guy like Familia. The A's haven't lost a single game when leading after seven innings.
That is just wow.
So you haven't lost a game when leading after seven, and now you plug in another guy where you can go, you know, really, you could go Trevino for two some games and Familia and Trinan for one.
Now, Familia, he's had some turbulence here the last couple, I'll say last month, JD. I've seen him give it up, you know, Aroldis Chapman, like, to where he's just, you know, can't find the strike zone, but all closers go through it. At the end of the day, this bullpen is better with this addition.
Well, and here's the thing. You're not, I mean, Familia is not going to be pitching the ninth inning, at least not initially. He might not even be pitching the eighth inning. This guy might be pitching the seventh inning, might be pitching the sixth inning. I mean, think about that. You're playing a close game
That's
into
filthy.
The fifth, sixth inning, and any one home run that flips the game, you know, you're down a run and somebody hits a two-run shot. You're down two, somebody hits a three-run shot. Any or game's tied, somebody, you know, you get a little rally, string a rally together, base hit, and all of a sudden, those three, four guys, if you want to count Buchter from the left side, are in the game. You're in big trouble.
We've seen the Rays try to do it. We've seen the Indians do it a couple years ago where they would have the studs come in early, sixth, seventh inning. It's like, oh, my gosh, if we're losing, you know, we might need to just take this L because there's nothing we can do about it because they're filthy at the back end of the bullpen. So I get it. We'll see how it works. And when do you expect him to be in uniform, JD?
Probably by tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Monday at the latest. And the A's are going, after the ballgame tomorrow, they're going to Arlington. They got a four-game set with the Rangers.
I watched Get a Life, I Need One, JD. I watched the Rangers and Indians last night. It was so hot. The ball was just jumping out the park. The A's can't wait to get to Texas.
Yeah, and I had the show yesterday with Kolsky in for Damon.
Kolsky.
So I didn't make it out to the ballpark last night. So yeah, I went home and I got the game on one channel, and I had the mix channel going last night. So I had Texas. I had a little of Texas and Cleveland. I had a little of Seattle. They were playing the White Sox.
Yeah, yeah.
I had that one on. Arizona and Colorado was
on. Bunch
of
runs
last night.
In that one.
Bunch of runs in that game. So yeah, no, I was keeping tabs. I mean, it is, you know, both of these teams right now are project at a minimum to be in the race until the final week of the season.
And that's all you can ask.
To be in the race at the final.
Can you help this texter out? The game that the A's blew when Trinan, gave it up, they were down 4-0 in the ninth. That was the game they came back, got the lead, and then he came on to close it out again.
Yeah, they were behind at the end of the seventh.
They weren't winning that game.
They were behind at the end of the seventh. Yeah, they were behind all the ninth.
Yeah, exactly.
9-2-5. Yeah, it was 4-0 in the ninth.
I think it was Piscotty hit the homer.
They had the lead after 10.5.
Yeah, exactly.
But they didn't have
and
the lead
after seven.
And I was
like, I jotted it down. Oh, it's the W. Trinan's coming in.
And it's funny how things tend to linger. Like, this is one thing. It's a pet peeve. Because I've seen a lot of that. Well, they blew that game. They blew that game against the Astros. They won 3 out of 4. They were down 4-0 in the ninth. You didn't blow that game.
To Charlie Morton.
You didn't blow that game. Exactly. Okay? You were down. And you came back. I think that was actually a Verlander game. You were down and you came back. The game they lost was Verlander's start. The game they won was the Charlie Morton.
Yeah, the one they blew. When Morton left the game, the Astros were up 3-0. And then they got up to 4. It was a day game. They got up to 4-0.
Well, no, that was the game the A's won.
Yeah, which Houston blew.
That was the game the A's won.
Came back
and
won
6-4. The game the A's lost is the one where Verlander was 4-0. I think Verlander went 6, and it went to the ninth, and...
Yeah, and my guy Lucroy had
the game where Lucroy had the air.
Yeah,
that's a game where nobody wins that game. The A's have won that game like 6 times.
No doubt.
And you won 3 out of 4 in that series. So I get it where it's like, oh well, one game, and boy, if they end up losing by one game, you're going to think about that. You can't be expected to sweep the freaking Houston Astros in a 4-game series on the road
with or without Correa.
With or without Correa, with or without McCann, with or without whoever you want to talk about. It was an impressive winning week of baseball for the A's.
Yeah.
Don't give me that, oh, they blew that game and Trinan's unreliable and this and that and the other. No, you're not going to win every game.
Speaking of every game, I know you're going to think, oh, come on, Guru, you're a prisoner of the moment. Last Saturday night, I believe Bumgarner pitched against the Giants. He did himself well. He looks like he's getting stronger. He's going longer. But, J.D., I'm going to just throw this out here for the A's. This is an important game. For them to go 0-2 right after the break, after being hot, I don't like it, and I know it's only 2 games, but this is a big game tonight for the Athletic.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or... I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.